All right. Awesome. This is Ray Higdon, and you are in for a treat today. I have a new friend, someone that I've actually been learning from, and I've read his books. I've been a big admirer of this gentleman I'm about to bring on here. And we're just gonna have a little fireside chat, just kind of, you know, talk about the status of network marketing, what's going on, what's exciting, what's maybe dangerous, what are things you should prepare for. Now, this is someone that you've probably seen his information, you've probably read all of his books, or if you haven't, you definitely should. And he's actually going to talk about a new book he's got coming out that you should definitely get, and he's going to give you a way to get that. It is my new friend, Randy Gage. Randy, how are you?
Hey, Ray. Great to be on with you.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on here. And I'm just so excited. I mean, Randy, you're one of the guys I look up to. You know, I'm newer in the industry. I've been in the industry for, I guess, 6 years now, part-time for most of those years, full-time since 2009. And I'm just excited to have you on here, having what we all want in network marketing, and that is just a dream lifestyle, a team of over 200,000 people, been in the industry 25 years, and the fact that, like me, didn't have the greatest of youth periods. I did end up finishing high school. It took me 5 years though. 5 years in high school. Didn't finish college for myself. And I know you actually dropped out of high school. I know that you actually had some troubled youth, and so I think a lot of people can really identify with your story from going from that kind of background to living an amazing dream lifestyle. So, man, I'm excited to have you on, Randy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So now, Randy, we had you on the Home Business Radio Network and had a lot of fun on that. A lot of people were excited to hear this more in-depth interview. And what you were talking about was you believe, and in your new book, and I'm going to let you say the title because I love it. I love the title, and I love the chapter names and everything, and I can't wait to get my hands on it. You have a new book coming out, or that you're actually taking pre-orders on right now. Can you share with me why you think we're entering a golden era as network marketers?
Yeah, great question. The book, by the way, is called Risky is the New Safe, and it's a book like you've never read before, no matter how many books you've read, because it's actually a rock opera in four acts, believe it or not. The publisher didn't know what to do with it, and nobody can figure it out. It's like nothing you've ever seen. And I'm talking about all of the cataclysmic changes happening in the world today. What's happening with technology? What's happening with government? What's happening with demographics and the baby boomers? All of these trends, hard trends versus soft trends, cyclical trends versus linear trends. And by knowing these things, you can predict the future with an uncanny degree of accuracy. And you don't have to be a mystic. You don't need a crystal ball. It's nothing woo-woo. You can take some real tangible information and with an amazing degree of accuracy predict trends for the future. And I've done that through the book, and we look at what's going to – I'm predicting the euro is going to collapse within the next 2 years. I'm predicting governments will default on payments. I'm predicting millions of jobs are going to be eliminated by technology. I'm predicting millions of other jobs are going to need retraining because of technology. Now, think about that. All of those things happening, and what I believe is – what I'm saying in the book is that we're about to enter the golden era of network marketing. And I'm talking 2013, 2014, 2015. I believe we're about to enter a time where literally millions of people will be joining our profession on a monthly basis. And everyone who's listening to this, on you know, this interview right now, you all go to Opportunity Meetings. You all conduct Opportunity Meetings, and you talk about the exponential growth curve, right? You have the formative years, and then you get the tipping point, and you're going to go into this exponential growth where the line is almost straight up. Here's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting the whole profession is going to enter that exponential growth curve. Because,
wow.
Yeah, think about this, Ray. You got $16 trillion deficit here in the United States. I mean, we're bankrupt. UK is bankrupt. Spain is bankrupt. Italy is bankrupt. Greece is bankrupt. The euro is going to collapse. You go to, like, France, right? Paris, one of my favorite cities I ever to visit. You know, I can't even go there anymore because it's the whole city's on strike. Because, you know, the metro's on strike, the airport's on strike, the garbage is on strike. Because here's what happened in France, and this is what you're going to see happening all around the world. Their government said to people, okay, listen, we know you were promised this retirement security. We know you were promised these pensions. We know they've been telling you for decades you're going to get this. But the truth is, the money is gone, we don't have it, and you're not getting it. And so the workers are saying, okay, we're going to go on strike. And they go on strike. And the government says, okay, you can go on strike, but we still don't have the money. So what they did, of course, they voted that government out, and now they've voted in a new socialist government who once promised to give all the free cheese to everybody, right? But again, where is that going to come from? There's, you know, they're bankrupt. So people are going to realize, same thing in the U.S. I mean, look at the election coming up here and all the drama and trauma about Medicare, Metascare. You know, it's bankrupt fund. You know, if you ran your company the way the government ran the Medicare fund, you'd be in prison, right? Everyone listening to this interview, if you ran your business like the U.S. government runs its budget, we'd all be in prison for a Ponzi scheme, right? So governments are the new Ponzi schemes. So you're going to have millions of people who are saying, I can't count on my government to take care of me for retirement pension. Then I've got a chapter in the book on cloning. I was coming back from Thailand, and I played with a cloned puppy, which,
wow.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, it's the most adorable, frolicking puppy you'd ever, and it was a clone that they were just bringing back from South Korea. And it wasn't the first cloned puppy. It was just the first cloned puppy that came to the States. And meanwhile, this is on my trip from Thailand where I saw them training monkeys to harvest coconuts instead of humans. So I start thinking about cloning, biogenetic engineering, you know, where else is this going to, how does this impact the workforce? And think, and everybody who's listening right now, you all know that, you know, people in the corporate world, they got a target on their back. You know, and that's why the book is called Risky is the New Safe. Because, of course, when I grew up, my mom said, go to school, get an education, get a job for a big company, and you'll be set for life. I mean, and I think mothers all over the world and fathers all over the world told their kids the same thing. Well, today, that's the riskiest thing you could do. Because before, if you worked for a company for 30 years, they wanted to keep you. You were loyal. You know what I mean? They wanted you. Now you're working for a company 30 years, they're saying, can we get somebody younger? Cheaper? Can we find somebody who just got out of school and has less vacation and less health benefits and less perks?
Wow.
And they, you know, they're better trained because they got the latest information. The longer you've worked for that company, the bigger your target on the back is. So
yeah, that's so true, Randy. And if I can just interject real quick, I have a buddy that, you know, back in 2009, both of us were really, really struggling. I was in personal foreclosure. He was waiting tables, and he went on to his company selling IT consulting services, went from nowhere to the number one guy in his segment of, you know, for the entire world of selling these IT consulting systems, was on top of the world, made some pretty good money, and then the next year, to make the same amount of money, he had to do 30% more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're so right, man. You're so right. And I remember when I left corporate America, everyone told me I was absolutely nuts. And to me, I look back, that I agree with you 1,000,000% with this whole book concept. that was the safest thing for me to do, to learn how to conduct as an entrepreneur. So, man, I'm just digging what you're saying here, Randy. Sorry to interrupt there.
Well, and let's look at another aspect of it. Not just jobs that are going to be eliminated by technology, but need to be completely retrained. My sister-in-law was a typesetter. She took letters, rubber blocks of letters, and put them together into words and made a plate, and printers printed from that plate. That's what she trained to do. She hasn't worked in 15 years. Now, what are the chances that job is going to come back, an opening for that? I mean, it's never going to happen, right? It's like being a travel agent or working in the neighborhood video store. Those are jobs, they're going to be eliminated by technology, and they're never coming back. But think about a detective, right? How do you be a detective now? You probably drive a patrol car. You work a beat. But in the very near future, to be a detective, you're going to need a degree in biogenetic engineering. You're going to have to know how to sample DNA, and because that's what detectives will do. You know, you want to be a brain surgeon? Well, the guy who's trained 15 years to be a doctor right now, who's a brain surgeon right now, or a heart surgeon, 10 years from now, they're going to be hopelessly out of date, and they're going to be replaced by the kid who's playing Angry Birds right now, because open heart surgery is going to be done with a joystick from a control room with robotics. Right? And so the kid who's playing video games right now, he's going to be the most qualified brain surgeon or heart surgeon there is. So you're going to have millions of people whose jobs are still there, but to keep them, they're going to have to go through complete retraining. And that's why I say, between all the millions of jobs that are going to be eliminated by these bankrupt government policies, right, out of control entitlement programs, the millions of jobs that are going to be eliminated by technology, the millions of jobs that are going to be changed by technology, you're going to see just a massive, massive onslaught, tsunami of millions of people who are going to become entrepreneurs, who are going to run out of the corporate world, home-based businesses and network marketing businesses. They're just going to explode. And I think 30 years from now, 40 years from now, people are going to look back at the next couple of years and say, that was the golden era of network marketing.
That's powerful. You know, there's one thing that I think is congruent with what you're saying, and that is, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, he talks about how our grandparents were better versed in customer service than we have been.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like with you talking about network marketing and relationships, that there's such, that corporations have done such a poor job of that, that maybe that'll play into a factor of it.
Yeah, look at I have a chapter in the book that where I talk about retail. Think about retail, right? 250 years ago, how did it work? They made a product in the old country, so think England, right? They took it on a boat for months to the new country, and it landed in ports like Boston and New York and places on the East Coast. Then it went across the continent by stagecoaches, and it went to general stores. And then people came into general stores and they bought a product. So now we're 250 years later, and the ships have turned into airplanes, and the stagecoaches have turned into trains, and the trains turned into 18-wheelers, and the general stores turned into department stores, and department stores turned into mega malls. But the same basic business model is the same as it was 250 years ago. And if anything, we can argue that it got more complex, actually got worse, that it devolved instead of evolved. Because think of how many levels of rack jobbers and wholesalers and parasites in the middle. It's a broken economic model. And it's not a coincidence that Macy's and Home Depot and, you know, 100 Best Buy and, you know, 150 different major retailers are in bankruptcy, going out of business, or going into bankruptcy, or God just got out of bankruptcy. It's a failed, old, outdated model. Now you take, and of course what I'm saying in Risky is the New Safe is that it's going to be replaced with online marketing, and it's going to be replaced with network marketing. So you take a model. I mean, it's like it's like retailers don't even know that the internet was invented, or FedEx, or UPS, or fax machines, or 800 numbers, or you know, any of the changes we've had. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk, he talks about smartphones, right? But I just remodeled two bathrooms. Okay, I bought a toilet for $8,000 that has a light, a night light. It has a radio. It plays piano music. The top opens when you walk in. It flushes automatically. The top closes when you walk away. Obviously, it's designed by a woman, right? Now, they don't call that a smart toilet, but I would call that a smart toilet, right? What about smart refrigerators? You know, we're talking about smartphones. Well, what about when your refrigerator is going to say, well, you just took another bottle of Dr. Pepper, you're down to two. We notice you usually have two a week. We better reorder the next 12-pack. And you just took the last quart of milk, and you just took the last bucket of strawberries or what. I mean, think of how this, and it's like retailers don't have a clue about any of this. Now you take a business model like network marketing, where a company manufactures a product, sends it directly to their distributors, who in most cases are the end consumer, and other cases are just conversationally marketing it to their friends, acquaintances, and relatives through things like social media. And, you know, ask me, you know, which model is better? Which model do you think is going to survive over the next two decades?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, man. That's pretty awesome, $8,000 toilet.
You're going to have smart houses and the climate and the lighting and the music and the appliances and everything. I mean, that's just – and here's the thing. You know, the book – the first chapter is all about this technology stuff and mobile and where all this is going with tech, because it's really not about the tech. It's about how we use the tech, right? Because that's where the fortunes are being made. And that's what everyone on this listening to this interview has to be aware of, is it's not about your tech. It's not about your product. It's about how it matters to people, how it makes a difference in their life. And so,
the utility.
Yeah, what does it mean to them? Okay, so you got an amazing juice. You got an amazing vitamin. You got an amazing long distance. You got a whatever. They don't care about your features. They want to know, what does this have to do with me? And people who get this are going to make fortunes. And that's really, you know, the whole premise of Risky is the New Safe is because people, you know, when I was putting up some blog posts and talking to people on social media, the number one question I got was, well, you're a prosperity guy. Well, why are you writing this gloom and doom book? I mean, this isn't
right.
Like you, Randy. You don't write about
right.
Governments collapsing and currencies. And I said, you know, my whole point is, well, that's exactly why I'm writing about them. Because here's the example. You know, you're on your way to a concert and you get a flat tire. Well, that's bad news to you. I mean, you hate getting a flat tire because you're on your way to the concert. But to the guy who owns the tire store, that's great news. Because, you know, he's got to send his daughter to college, and he's going to sell an extra tire today. So it's the same event. You had a flat tire. You thought it was negative. The guy at the tire store thought it was positive. So it's the same thing. When a currency collapses, when the euro collapses, when technology changes jobs, when technology eliminates jobs, all of these things, every time there's a challenge, there's an opportunity for someone else. And some of the greatest wealth in human history was created in the Great Depression. And every time any country goes into a recession, there are people who become wealthy because they find ways to solve problems.
You know, that's so powerful what you shared, because, you know, I'm a big fan of gold and silver, and I you know, have read a lot about the different things that you've talked about, you know, currency, you know, et cetera. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes it can be a little doom and gloomy, but if you look at it in the way that you just shared, it's opportunity. And that's what I believe too, is that the the reason to get this type of information out there is not to get everyone on antidepressants. It's to say, wait, there's opportunity. You know, unless, of course, you're selling antidepressants and you're MLM, of course.
Well, take gold. You bring up gold. Now, I was recommending gold when it was $100 an ounce and $300 an ounce. When it got to 500, people told me it was crazy. 1,000, they're like, sell it off, take your money. Of course, now it's, you know, above 1,500, people were like, get out now. Here's what I say in the book. It is conceivable. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm just saying it's conceivable that at some point gold could go to $15,000 an ounce. Now, not likely, but it's possible. Because what's going to happen when the euro collapses? And the euro will collapse. Mark my words. I'm on the record. So you heard it here. It will collapse some point in the next 2 years. It'll get disbanded. Countries will start opting out of it, and eventually it'll be done. Or it'll just hang on with a few countries. So that will affect the dollar, the pound, the yen, the pesos. And you know what? There'll be people who lose fortunes overnight, and there'll be people who make fortunes overnight. And the same thing, when that happens, gold and silver and platinum will go through the roof. And so they could really go up in extraordinary degrees of value, right? And that could continue to go up and up and up for a long time until the Google boys start mining asteroids, which they're already doing. They have a company they formed with James Cameron and Interplanetary Resources. And when it becomes cheaper to bring gold and silver and platinum back to Earth than it is to take it out of the Earth, the price will come down. And you know what will happen when the price goes down? There will be people who lose fortunes overnight, and there will be people who make fortunes overnight, just like the flat tire. You know, this guy thinks it's good, this guy thinks it's bad, but that's just a subjective thing that we're assigning to it. But the, you know, my premise in Risky and the New is the New Safe is simply, when everybody else is zigging, you got to be zagging.
That's powerful. And you've been got a few more questions for you. The first one, where can people get this book? I know my audience pretty well. I know that they're right now they're salivating over hearing what you have to say in this book. How can they get their hands on this book?
All right, I've set up a site with all the details, and I've got a video explain, kind of take you through the book chapter by chapter and what you can get out of it. It's like a 15, 16-minute video. The site is at riskyisthenewsafe.com.
Riskyisthenewsafe.com. Awesome. So make sure if you're listening to this and you're getting some amazing nuggets from Randy Gage here, make sure you get your hands on that book. I mean, you'd be crazy not to. Just curious, just because I do a little bit more on that, if gold could conceivably go to $15,000 an ounce, what do you see silver doing? Because there's a lot of people that, you've probably heard this too, that say silver is, there's less of it on the earth. It's, you know, more of it's been consumed rather than recycled. What's your thoughts on the silver play?
My thought is gold, silver, and platinum are the only real forms of payment in the world. Everything else is just a promise to pay. So I believe in precious metals, you know, just keeping them, storing them, and let them appreciate. Like I say, things change. Same thing. You know, most people on this call right now will be alive and be able to vacation on the moon. A lot of people listening to this right now will still be alive when we will be able to travel to another planet. It'll become, we'll find a habitable planet within space travel distance, right? For a lot of people who are listening to this right now, I want people to understand this book isn't about 50, 60, 100 years from now. I mean, Richard Branson's going to be putting tourists in space next year. There's a hotel right now in the South Pacific that you can have a room on the floor of the ocean with a view of a coral reef. I mean, what is happening with apps and technology is like earth-shattering, cataclysmic change happening every 90 days, right? So this all, you know, gold, silver, platinum. I mean, silver, I love silver too. I've heard same thing, there's less of it. To me, it's all the same. Gold, silver, platinum, they're real payment. you know, contract current dollars, yens, pounds, that's all just promises to pay. These are
right.
promises made by governments who run printing presses, and whenever they want more money, they just run more printing presses for a few hours more, devalue the currency. They're basically, you know, you take a country like the U.S., which is making the currency more worthless every year. There'll be some cyclical stuff. Could, you know, somebody find a mine in Australia that has 8 gazillion tons of silver that we don't know about, and their silver could go down for a while? Yeah, but you know what? Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's still the only real payment in the world. So I see long-term inherent value in all precious metals.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree with you. One last question. I know your time is precious. You've been on here for a while with us, and definitely appreciate that. What, you know, let's say, let's bring it back from outer space, Mars, the moon, et cetera, back all the way down to what if someone's just listening to this audio, going gaga over, you know, your adventures and the type of dream lifestyle that you've created, and they've maybe been in network marketing, have yet to have success. What is a little bit of advice that you can offer to that person that's listening to this audio, has the hope, has the dream, but hasn't seen success yet in this wonderful industry?
I'm going to tell you what you don't want to hear, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's not your company. It's not your comp plan. It's not your sponsor. It's you. If there are people in your company making big checks, if there are people in your company driving bonus cars, there are people in your company walking across the stage and winning those cruises, then we know the comp plan works. We know the products work. We know that, you know, it's possible. So what it means is you just haven't developed the right skill sets yet. And don't worry, because they're all very learnable. At the ultimate level, to make, say, $200,000 a year, which would be a nice beginning income, I think, for a lot of people who would be really happy to make $200,000 a year in network marketing. Okay, so that we're talking about, what, you know, $25,000 a month, right? All you need to do to make at least 25, and I could teach a brain-dead moron on crack how to make $25,000 a month in this business by teaching them 4 basic skill sets: how to meet people, how to work a candidate list, how to invite, and how to follow up. Just 4 bit. Now, later on, you want to be a multi-million-dollar earner and you want to make $50,000 a month, $100,000 a month. Yeah, then we're going to need to do some leadership stuff. You're going to learn to be good on the platform, to give good presentations. There's some other skills you could develop later. But you could get easily to a couple $100,000 of your income if you will just concentrate on, and you don't have to be great in all 4, but you have to be at least proficient in all 4. How to meet people, how to work a candidate list, how to invite, and how to follow up. And they're, you know, they're not, it's not rocket science. Anybody could learn how to be proficient in all 4 of those skill sets.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, you've given so much value in this interview. I really, really appreciate it. And, man, just so awesome. I love what you said there, the 4 principles. So powerful, man, so powerful. I see so many people, you know, looking over, thinking the grass is greener and maybe that comp plan will change me or that'll change me or, you know, you're dead on. You're absolutely dead on. So I appreciate you, Randy. Thank you so much for taking so much of your time out. I'm going to get my hands on the book. I know my people are going to download and snag that thing. So I appreciate you, my friend. And, hey, I understand. I don't think we're too far away. We need to meet up and grab a beer or something sometime.
Yeah, you're in Florida, right?
I'm in Florida.
Yeah, I'm down at South Beach.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, hey, appreciate you again, and I know so many people appreciate you. Make sure if you're listening to this, guys, make sure you follow Randy on Twitter. You can check out his website, randygage.com, and help spread the knowledge that's shared in this interview, shared on Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, wherever. And again, thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
You got it.